Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
I want God to move in and never move out. Let me say it like this. I want God to move in and me never evict him ever again. Because sometimes he doesn't leave because he wants to. Sometimes he leaves because we're doing things in our homes that he cannot approve of. And you say, well, I thought he'd never leave me. Oh, he'll never leave you, but realize this, that joy and depression can't reside in the same place. That despondency and peace cannot reside. Fear and faith cannot reside in the same place. So you and I are going to have to choose one or another. One more time, say we're building something here. Now find two people you didn't ride to church with today and tell them, keep hope alive. Now turn to your neighbor and tell them, go Spurs, go. No, just kidding. We're not there yet, y'all. We got a long ways in this rebuild. You may be seated. The last few sessions we've been talking about, we're building something here. This is a series that was birthed out of the first weekend here at Living Way this year when Cruz came in and talked about on that first Heart and Soul night of the year that we're building something here, that we is not just us, but most important that we includes God. We, God and us, are building something here. Remember this, if God is not involved in it, you shouldn't want to be involved in it either. If God is not building it, I don't want to be on site to build it either. If God has not co-signed it, you better recognize that we can't co-sign it. That's why it is futile for people to ask our opinions on this issue and our opinions on this issue. I don't have an opinion. I just know what the Word of God says, and that's how I'm going to live my life. So when we say we are building something, us and God are building something. Building, we are literally putting things together. But we go back to Matthew chapter 16, where it literally says, On the revelation that Jesus gives Simon Peter, he says, on this rock, on the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I will build my church. Remember, the church is not a building. The church is not an address. The church is not a denomination. You are the church, praise God. I am the church. The church is a living organism. It is breathing. It is alive today. The resurrection of Jesus assured us that the church will never die, praise God. The church might sometimes be anemic. The church might sometimes go through some stuff, but I've got news for every Bible believer, every saved follower of Jesus Christ in the room today. If you love Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus, no matter what the devil does, just like God told Job, you can do anything you want to them, but you can't kill them, because I've started something that I'm going to finish. We're building. Psalm 127 says, if the Lord does not build it, the workers are wasting their time. God has to be involved in what we're building, something of exceptional, an exceptional thing or person of great value. That's something we're building at Living Way is culture, it's people, it's future, it's kingdom. Those four things is what we're building. Now, a lot of times we look at the campus, we look at physical buildings, we look at physical building projects like the studio that we're finishing out, and we look at those things as more important. Anything that you can physically see is the least important thing that we are building. Because God forbid this building burn down this week, we will still have church on Wednesday and we will still have church on Sunday, because God, his church, is not a building. We can have church in the parking lot. We can move next door for a few months, whatever we need to do. And so the great value that God is building is people, kingdom, culture, and future. And then God is building something here. I believe it's Genesis 28 when Jacob said, I was not aware, but this is a holy place. God has met us here. Now that we're all caught up, let's go now to 2 Kings chapter 4, where we jumped in the last couple sessions. One day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem. And so the woman here is never named that he is dealing with. We just refer to her as the Shunammite woman. But Elisha shows up in a place called Shunem. Last session we talked that Elisha define means God of our salvation. Aren't you glad that there was a day when salvation showed up to you and your house and your family? Can we just turn back the clock for a couple moments and go back 2 months, 2 years, 2 decades ago when you found Jesus, and what a great day that was. It could have been anybody, but he chose you, praise God. Just think about this. If you got saved at a church service, there was people that needed Jesus that same church service that did not say yes the day that you said yes, praise God. There are people that saw that social media post inviting them to a church service that scrolled on by, but you decided to go ahead and check out the church, and the church had nothing to do with it, but you found Jesus in that church. Salvation came. Elisha, the man of double portion, double anointing, double miracles, comes to Shunem. Shunem literally means in Hebrew, the double resting place. The man of salvation, the God of salvation, shows up. The double anointed shows up to a place of double rest. Last session, we had two declarations that hundreds of people grabbed onto. The first was that you're getting ready to step into a season of double in your life. Not just double favor, but double anointing, double joy, double peace, double purpose. Double your assignment, and if my assignment is doubled and my purpose is doubled, that means that God's anointing on us has to be doubled. Then the second was that this was a wealthy woman, but she was missing one thing. We don't find out in verse 8 and 9 what she's missing yet, but the further you read chapter 8, chapter 4, you realize that this is a woman who cannot have children, and she desperately wants a son. She was wealthy and had all of the things that money could buy, but there was one piece that she wanted so badly in her life that money could not buy. Could I encourage you that the greatest things in your life, you cannot put a price tag on, and if you had all the money in the world, it would not make a difference. Can I tell you that Jesus is the source of all of the most important things that you cannot put a price tag on? There is not a price tag on being able to sleep with peace at night. There is not a price tag alone that you could pay enough money to have the kind of love in a marriage. All of that comes from putting Jesus as the center of our life. And so Elijah, the God of salvation, shows up in the city of double rest, sends a man that is carrying a double anointed to a woman who seemingly has everything. But here's the second declaration we made last week, that there is some missing things in our lives. And the devil has lied to us saying we are good enough and we've been blessed enough. But I've come to break off the boundaries and the limitations off of God. God, if you want to do it, I'm your man. God, if you want to do it, this is your church. God, if you want to do it, I'm your family. I thought I'd get a little better amen right there than that. Because a lot of us are expecting God to do something, but a lot of us, many of us, have already given up on God doing that because it's taken too long. Just because God is not on our timetable does not mean that God forgot. I posted yesterday on social media, God is never late. Late is a word that we use to excuse our impatience. I'm one of the most impatient people there is, but God has been working with me, as James said, because the trying of my patience, when something takes a little longer to happen in my life, my faith, praise God, is growing stronger. So the woman that had almost everything was missing that piece. Verse 9, new material, here we go. And this woman said to her husband, I am sure that this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. She said, I'm sure of it. I don't know how she's sure of it, but she recognizes that Elisha is not like other men. She recognizes that Elisha carries an anointing on him that other people do not carry. Can I encourage somebody in the room and online today that you've been living in the big middle of God and in the big middle of his word and his promise and his anointing? But can I tell you from an outside perspective that when we look at your life, you are more anointed than you even know you are. You've got so much blessing and favor on your life and in front of you, but because you are living it every day, you don't see it. But here's a woman that said, Elisha is different than most. I am sure that this man is a holy man of God. Here's the question, church. Can we recognize the presence of God or a move of God when it doesn't show up like we think it should or like it has in the past? Can we recognize God on a day other than Sunday? Can we hear God's voice when it's not coming through a worship song or in an altar? Can you hear God just as clear at HEB as you do at Living Way at 11:45? Can you hear God just as well, come on the mountaintop as we do when we're in dire need in the valley? What I love about this woman is, as she said, I see men every day, but here is a man of God that I recognize that has something on and in his life that no one else has. Can I tell you that I want Living Way to be that place that is different than everybody else, different than other churches? But what I really want is I want us, the church, on a Monday through Saturday to recognize the presence of God when it flows into your home, the presence of God when it flows down the hallways at your work. I need us to know, can God get our attention on a Tuesday at the Valero station at pump number 4 the same way that he does at an altar at 11:45 on Sunday? And I'm preaching to us. I'm preaching to we. I'm not preaching to you, because it's easy for me to hear God in this environment. But once the world turns up the volume out there, I think we miss the presence of God. I think we miss the move of God. I think we miss the opportunity of God. Because it's not, you know how many people get upset because I'm not wearing a 3-piece suit? Like the word of God is more anointed if I was wearing a suit? You know how many people are upset because we've got guitars and the Hammond B3 doesn't get used like it used to? The number one reason it's not getting used like it used to is we need a player for that thing. So if you can play it, here's your call. Monday night, you can see Pastor Tyler. I mean, not pastor yet, but he's heading that way, praise God. But I think there's a lot of times we miss God because we expect him to have this booming voice. We expect glitter and rainbows and butterflies and a spotlight from heaven to show up. Could I tell you that sometimes God will speak to you through dirty people? Sometimes God will speak to you through unsaved people. Sometimes God will even use a heathen to get your mind right, to get your focus right. You say, I don't believe God would do that. Listen, in the Old Testament, he used Balaam's donkey. If God used a jackass then, he'll use a jackass now to get your attention. If God used an animal then, he'll use an animal now. If he can't get you to listen here, he'll do everything he can do to get you to listen out there. This is not in my notes, but let's go here for a minute, because I was thinking about this and encouraging a family before church today. But the prodigal son, the Bible says the prodigal son ends up in the pig pen. You know who became the greatest preachers to that prodigal son? The pigs. You know how I know the pigs were talking to him? Because when he comes to himself, Sister Gloria, he starts saying things like this: even the pigs are eating better than me. Then he looks back at his house and he goes, I'm sure the servants in my father's house are living at a better level than I am. Can I encourage you, church? Eyes open, ears open, heart and spirit open. God wants to speak into your life, move in your life, rearrange things in your life every day of your life, not just on Sundays. Not just on Sundays. Mark chapter 25, this is a powerful but a sobering and maybe even a rebuking scripture for some of us. Matthew 25, 34, then the king will say to those on his right. This is talking about when in heaven God separates the sheep from the goats. You don't want to be a goat. I know in our terminology, greatest of all time. He's the greatest of all time. I don't need goat status. He's the goat, praise God. Greatest of all time. But we're called to be sheep. This is where he's separating sheep and goats. The king will say to those on the right, come on, talking to the sheep. Come who you are blessed by the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry. This is Jesus talking about what God will say. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the sheep, the righteous ones, will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? A stranger and show you hospitality, naked and gave you clothes. When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I will tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, that's what you did to me. Could it be the person you cussed out during road rage, God was calling you to lay hands on and pray? Could it be the one that you've been gossiping about at work? That's the one that God has called you to speak into and speak life and encourage him. Could it be that your baby daddy, who you've been at odds with the last 4 years and you can't say anything good, could it be that you're going to be the pastor, the evangelist that's going to speak a word into his, well, I just don't. Well, you should. That's your baby's father. You want him to be blessed. You want him to be saved. You want her to be blessed. Then he turns to the goats and he says, get to the left. You can't enter today. Well, why can't we come in? Because I was hungry and you refused to feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. I was naked, you refused to give me clothes. I was sick, you didn't pray for me. You didn't bring healing, you didn't care for me. I was in prison, you didn't. They said, none of that ever happened. And he again said, no, when you do it to the least of my brothers and sisters, that is exactly how you are treating me. Can I encourage and all of us in this room and implore all of us that are watching online and hear the sound of my voice that we've got to do a better job of being Jesus and being believers and being disciples for the world. The world is lost. 6 billion people are headed straight to hell, and we're more worried about our Netflix account, and we're more worried about our bank account, and we're more worried about fantasy football, and we're more worried about the things of this world. I'm not telling you you can't do any of that. I'm just saying we've got to open up our eyes and our ears. Shame on us for calling people out on social media about their political views, their sports views, calling them this, calling them that, being a keyboard warrior, but you see hurting people in your timeline that you are connected to, and we just keep scrolling. They're hurting, they're lost, they're in pain, they're hungry, they're thirsty, they're naked, they're sick, they're imprisoned. And then the least we do is we scroll by, the most we do is we'll just say, well, I'm praying for you. God hit me so hard a couple years ago when he said, quit telling people you're going to pray for them and start praying for them. Right before this service, one of the dear families of this church came to me with a situation that's going on. I didn't tell that family, I'm going to pray for you. I said, let's pray right now. And it only took 45 seconds for me to call heaven down in that room and call resurrection life into that situation. And I believe that if we will open our ears and eyes and quit asking God what he can do for us and start saying, God, reporting to duty, this is what I want to do. Is this something that's in your will? What do you need me to do for you? Let's go back up to verse 9. Got a couple minutes left. I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time. This is where it's hard as a pastor to preach this next part, but it needs to be preached. God is not looking for weekend custody. God is not your stepfather. He's your father. He is not looking for you to come in from time to time. And I say this because you've heard me encourage people. Hey, start coming once a month. Start coming twice a month. Start coming with some regularity. But can I encourage, we always expect God to be an always on time God, whenever we need him, God, ever present in the time of help, he's there. But then we give God a couple hours a week, maybe two or three times a month, and we call it done. When God does not want Sundays, God does not want here, God wants your entire life. God wants every waking moment to revolve around him. Does that mean you don't get a job? No, that means you get a good job and you be a great ambassador for Jesus Christ, but you're a secret agent. You're getting paid on that job, but God has you in that job to love people, to encourage hurting people. I'm not telling you that you got to preach and speak in tongues in the break room, but what I'm saying is whether you got four or five people, or you've got 200 people in your department, you become their pastor. You become the one that says, I'm looking for hungry people to feed, thirsty people to give a drink to. I'm looking for sick people to care for, people that are bound to, I'm looking for them. But she said, I'm sure that this is a man of God, and he comes by from time to time. God doesn't want to come in and out of our life from time to time. If you have a relationship where you're breaking up, getting back together, breaking up, getting back together, the next time you break up, call AT&T, or maybe after this week, call Verizon. Get a new number. Block that person all on social media. Because the days of us jumping in and out, see, we get used to doing that in the world, and then we treat God like we do every other relationship. God corrects us, God rebukes us, God reproves us, and we get our feelings hurt. And we say, well, I'm not going to do that. And we treat God, a godly relationship, like we do a relationship when we were in eighth grade, or like some of us have relationships at 30 years of age. God does not want to be in your life from time to time. God wants to be in your life for better or worse, highs and lows, dark and sunny days. She said, this man is a holy man of God. Verse 10, let's build a small room for him on the roof. Let's furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay. She said, let's make room for the man of God. When we say we're building something here, what we're really saying is, let's make room for God to move. Let's give God space. One of the things that I dislike the most about traveling to churches now to preach and speak, which I do still occasionally, most of them I turn down because at this point in my life, I would much rather be here on a Sunday than anywhere on earth. Because that's because of you, praise God, and that's because of the life that God has built here. I don't like to leave the state of Texas or the city of San Antonio much. But one of the things I really don't like is most of these churches, they don't build big buildings anymore. They build very small buildings, and they'll have four or five services. And then they want me to preach the same message four or five times, exactly verbatim as it was the first time. My notes are very scarce because I get this so much in my spirit that I'm just up here speaking and preaching and letting the Spirit lead. So it's never going to be the same twice. But the reason I really hate it is they say, we're going to start this service at 8 o'clock. These people have to be out the door at 9:05 because we got to get that other, we got to get the building ready for the 9:30 service. And those people have to be out the building by 10:30. And they give no place for God to do anything. And here's the problem with that. If the whole thing is about herding people in like goats, taking their money, counting their heads, and then turn, we don't have a time for you to receive. Now, we want you to listen to us. We want you to worship with the band. And then we want you to get out and make room for the next people so we can get their money, we can count their heads, and get them out so we can get, I don't like that. Now, we have a service schedule. Miss Mary sends it to me every day, every Sunday and Wednesday. Sometimes I have no clue what songs they're singing, but I can go through and you'll see me checking my phone. I'm not checking fantasy football scores. I'm looking at what's next in the service because our team is growing in such a way where they're like, Pastor, we'll handle this while you handle preaching, but let us put the service together. But I'm here to tell you right now, if the Spirit starts moving, I don't care if it's the second song, third song, fourth song. I don't care if it's in the middle of offering. We're going to stop and let God move. I've got plans today. My plans right after this service is to put an order to Chester's Hamburgers, go get me a cheeseburger and some onion rings. I'm going to go by my mango nada place and get 4 mango nadas for the week, praise God, hallelujah, because I love those kind of snacks. But I'm here to tell you, if the Holy Ghost starts moving in the next 15 minutes, Chester's can wait till tomorrow, and I might not get my mango nada today. Why? Because that's not why I'm here. I am not here on earth to eat good and live good. I am here on earth to receive the glory of God and then be a dispenser of the glory of God. Does anybody hear me today that here at Living Way, we want to make room for God to move? That is why for the rest of this year, we're going to call nights of prayer. We're going to call nights of worship. We're going to have Bible studies and prayer meetings. We just announced to the men on Friday night, we're going to have 6 a.m. devotionals for our men starting next month. Why is that? Because we're giving God room to work. Because a lot of times you might have a question. A lot of times we need some one-on-one time or a smaller group setting. And I am here to announce to Living Way and the world, we are not going to be takers only for the kingdom of God. We have freely received. Now we are going to freely give. And when I say we're building room and we're making and we're building something here, we are making room for God to move. So let's make room for God to move. Let's make room for the presence of God. Let's make room for the Spirit of God to move in our services. One of the largest churches in San Antonio, the pastor literally got up and said last year, I don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. I have not received the Holy Ghost. And then he turned to the church and he said, I've learned more about the Holy Ghost from the people coming here than I ever have in my life. And the church erupted with praise. Our bishop was sitting on the back row of that service on a Sunday morning. And he came back to me and he said, that church is heading the wrong way. Because if a pastor gets up and he says the people of God are teaching him about the Holy Ghost, maybe the people need to come up here and the pastor needs to sit down there. And I'm not saying that I can't learn anything from you because you teach me things every day, but I'm telling you that you've got to have leadership in place that understands when the Spirit of God starts moving, we know what to do with that Spirit. I've been in services where the devil shows up and they don't know what to do with him. I've been to services where the sick come forward for healing and they pray some little canned prayer and move on. But you're here at Living Way. We know how to call heaven down. And when heaven shows up, we don't rush heaven. We don't move past heaven. We don't put heaven on a timer. We are making room. A lot of what I'm saying has been on my heart. You hear frustrations right now. I'm sure as a pastor, when I see some of my peers doing things, and I know the cliches, and I know their heart's right. But here's the thing. Most churches will tell you, And they'll say, maybe I've said it in one of my commercials in years past. We're making room for you, San Antonio. Come see us. We've got all kinds of room. I'm not making room for people. I'm making room for God. There's six of y'all. Because some of y'all are getting concerned that we're not going to dismiss by 12:25 anymore. Pastors mean we're going to have church till 2 o'clock? It might. I don't know. But here's the thing, church. We don't need to make room for you. We need to make room for him. Because if we make room for people, we could fill this building up four times, and it would be the same crowd that the Spurs play for every time they have a home game. But if we fill a building up with people and God does not show up, then we are nothing more than a little more Holy Spirit-filled Spurs game. But I don't want people to show up here if the Holy Spirit's not going to show up here. I do not want a Kiwanis Club. I don't want a meet and greet. I don't want a Christians mingle. This is not a place for your pyramid schemes. This is not a place for you to meet. I get so tired of single people showing up in the altar, and the first thing they ask about Living Way is, do you have a singles group? No, we do not have a group for you to pray on other singles. Let God bring you the right one. And I know I'm spending some time on the soapbox today, but we need to get church back in church. We need God to be God. We need the Holy Spirit to move, because there are some things that need to be done in 2024 that you can't lecture out, you can't counsel out, you can't advise out. It's going to need a spiritual move of God. Stand on your feet. This is where my heart's been, church. Struggling with widening the net to bring people in to Living Way. What can we do to entice people that have never been to church to come to church? But at the end of the day, us giving out free gifts, that's all right. Us having special guests, that's cool. But you know what's really going to transform people's lives? Getting them in the presence of the Lord. You know what's really going to change somebody's life? Not just the sermon or the song, but when the Spirit falls in song two, I just tell the team, keep going. We don't care about the schedule. Keep going. God's moving already now. I remember when we would have these services, we have them from time to time, we're going to start having more of them, praise God, in faith, where we never get past worship. The altar fills. Brother Oscar, somebody asked me one time, they said, but Pastor, I came for the word, and there was no word. So this is what I told them, and I said this very nicely, because it was a good member of the church. I said, you can get the word all by yourself. And I said, why do we preach the word? And they said, to give people a chance to respond and receive Christ and come to the altar. I said, that happened already. So why would you want me to get up for 30 minutes and talk them out of a decision they were ready to make in song two? We're building something. We're building great value. I want you to bring your demon-possessed neighbors. Because like Bishop Jake said, we'll either cast them out or have them incarcerated, but we'll make sure. We want you to bring the 14-year-old pregnant daughter of your best friend who the other church looked at cross-eyed and judged her. I told a friend of mine, got pregnant, not married. This is what I told her. I had a hard conversation with her for about 30 minutes. I made sure that there was repentance. I made sure that she felt loved. But then I said, let's start planning the baby shower. We doing a gender reveal? What we doing? We need churches that hold people accountable by the word of God. But that say, hey, come in close. We're going to love you. We're going to meet needs that you have physically. We can offer counsel. We can do all of those things. But this is a place that we've created for God to meet you. The drug addicts, demon possessed. Bring all the people that you know that have cancer in their bodies. Let's pray for them. Bring the HIV. Let's pray for them. Bring the sexually confused. Let's pray for them. Bring the non-binary and every pronoun you can think of. Let's pray for them. They're not going to get judged here. They're going to get loved here. They're going to get loved here. You don't even know it. There's homosexual couples in this room right now. I make it a point every time I see them, physically see them, that I know because they've shared their struggles with me, to go and hug them, to love them. I'm so glad you're here. This is your church. You say, no, Pastor, that's overdoing it. No, I don't believe we do it enough. Because other churches, they turn them away. We're not going to turn them away. We're going to bring them in close. Sit with me. What can I do? How can I be of service? I hope you hear my heart, because this is more like almost like a state of the church address today. I was talking, and I'm done. Give me 1 minute. I was talking with one of our leaders at men's class. And he's facing some decisions that he's going to have to make within his job, because a transgender person wants him to affirm them. Don't call me that, call me this. And turned him into his superiors. And as much as I'd like to tell you as a pastor, I'm just like, well, by God, quit that job. Gotta give you another one. That's not the answer. And to be honest with you and him, I don't know what he should do. I just know that he should pray and let the God of Elisha, that's living in the room that he has made in his life, he's not visiting, he's staying right there. Let that God say, now listen, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to keep your job and not compromise and love and minister and be what I've called you to be. One of the greatest couples in this world stands right here in front of me. They've broken the ice. They need a miracle in their life. They need God to move in their life. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Oscar, you know what I love? And I'm so confident about you and Sister Joanne today. You've spent the last chunk of your life, 15 years, 17 years, creating a room, building a room. You thought you were building Living Way. You weren't building Living Way. You were building a place for God to show up in March or February of 2024. This is your moment. Miguel and Brielle. Miguel, I've known you since you were in junior high school. Mighty man of God. Brielle, we just met last year. You got married. You're doing things the right way. You thought you were helping us build a youth ministry called GX for years. You being a part of our leadership team, you thought you were building Living Way. No, you were building a room all of this time for God to show up and be God in your life. Patrick and Desi, you might have only been here a couple years, but the last couple years, you've been constructing and building a place for God to move in your life, your marriage, your kids, your family, your future. God's doing something in couples. Can I challenge a husband to take your wife by the hand and march down to this altar right now and say, we're going to continue to build a room? Can I encourage and challenge a wife to grab your husband by the hand and say, we're going down there, because I feel that God is building some things, and I believe that we're building some places for God to move and for God to stretch us and for God to grow us. And we want to be like that woman of Shunem that said, hey, I recognize God is doing something in this season. I recognize that God is doing something different in this moment. Randy, so good to see you, man. Didn't recognize you in that suit, looking good. Another great couple. Randy owns a construction business. He's done some work for the church at a vastly discounted price. But what I love about Randy texts me. He emails me every time he's ever texted or emailed me. Some of them have been about requesting prayer. Hey, Pastor, got this going on in my life. But 99% of the time, Pastor, I want to do more for the church. Pastor, is there anything I can do? Pastor, where can I step in more? And it's not for Living Way. What he's saying is, we're building something here. I've got a hammer, physically. But some of us got a hammer, spiritually. I want to help build what God is doing, because I know in doing that, I'm building places and a space for God. My goodness, look at this response to this altar appeal today. God bless every one of you in this altar today. God bless those of you that are making fresh commitments at your seat. I'm looking at the red light. God bless you on the other side of that screen today. You're watching on your phone. Make room for God wherever you are. Make room for God in that dorm room, in that bedroom, in that living room. Right now, just like they are in this altar, lift your hands high and just say, God, I'm making room for you today to be God in my life. I'm making room in my marriage. I'm making room in my children. I'm making room, God, in my mind. Anxiety is about to leave in Jesus' name.